It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. It's always a pleasure. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm well. Now, should you consider downsizing your property? Some friends of mine have been considering this, and I suppose that many British people who retire here were able to buy their dream property, Spanish villa or converted French farmhouse, for example. But as the years go by, should the time come for them to think about downsizing? And are there any financial benefits worth considering by doing this, Bill?
Well, Howard, your friends may have been considering it. I've been considering it personally too. I don't, on these brief discussions over the radio, talk about my personal affairs. But, you know, I've got to an age really where I don't want to have the encumbrance of a larger property and the costs that go with it, the management of it, especially when I'm away from the property quite a bit of the time. It's a natural evolution, if you like, of increasing age that you need to move your life into an environment which suits the position you're in at any particular point in time. If, for example, you're now in your mid-70s, for example, and you originally bought your house in the when you were in your mid-50s, would you, if you were starting all over again, buy the same property now, given that you now have different physical characteristics, given that you may have different family relationships and all the rest of it that you didn't have 20 years ago? So for many people, downsizing isn't just a financial issue, it's also a personal lifestyle issue. There are lots of opportunities within the property markets of Spain and France and other areas of continental Europe, but it's easy to buy in to those opportunities. It is not so easy to sell out. Ask anyone who's trying to sell a property. It's one heck of a problem right now. There's so many properties on the market in continental Europe following the economic turndown 10 years ago that prices have not really moved very much. So are there better opportunities for your money? Almost certainly there are.
Well, given that difficulty that you've just mentioned, Bill, are there any potential financial benefits of keeping your larger home?
There aren't many. I mean, as you get older and you require less stress in your life with less property management. We do have at Blevins Franks lots of clients who've lived in their property for the last 30 years. And frankly, they run around in it like a pea in a can. There's so much room and so little of them now that they're living in the wrong environment. And it is not easy to unshackle yourself from that, both emotionally, because it's become your home for such a long time, and secondly, because market values have, in many cases, fallen and remained lower than they were at a point in time in the past. So there's this huge psychological issue of making the move. Are there any financial benefits? Frankly, I can't think of any offhand, because you are going to be meeting much higher costs in terms of a larger property than would otherwise be the case. Maintenance and repairs, insurance and all the other things that go, the supply of utilities, all the other things that go with it. And, you know, there is a distinct move amongst the people who are retired over the last 15 or 20 years to start to move into smaller, more manageable properties and use the capital that they can free up from their property to enhance their lifestyle, and also to move that capital into a more tax advantageous position than sitting there as a piece of real estate waiting for whichever authority it is to tax the life out of your real estate at the end of your life.
Yeah. Well, taking those high maintenance costs as read, Bill, do you often come across retired expatriates, for example, who own a lovely property but risk not having enough disposable income in their later years?
In fact, Howard, it happens more frequently than you might imagine. Being overhoused and undercapitalized is one of the serious risks of having purchased a large property many years ago and remaining in occupation of that property through the years. Sometimes, in many cases, the property was bought when the individual was at work, busy, visiting Spain a couple of times, France a couple of times a year, whenever, and eventually moved into it because it was the property that they then owned. But as I've already said, Howard, if you ask those people who are in a sense, overhoused and undercapitalized because they're finding it a strain to continue to meet the costs of running the property, the management, the maintenance, and all the rest of it, the tax consequences of it. If you ask them, of course, if you could capitalize this immediately, would you buy back into the same property or would you buy something more manageable and release some of this capital so that it can produce you with an increasing income? Because, as Jane Austen it was who said, nothing in life is as comforting as an adequate income. And if you've got a huge property to live in and to manage, and your income is slowly becoming inadequate, it's a miserable state of affairs.
So for our listeners in Spain, Bill, what are the benefits then of moving some of your wealth from property to investments, such as equities and bonds?
Well, look, there's advantages and disadvantages to both. And as I said to you, this isn't, you know, if it's your home, this isn't a purely financial discussion. There are emotions attached to this which are difficult to overcome. But if you think about what was the value of your property, let's say, in 2008, at the time of the economic meltdown, it would have meant, if you wanted to sell your property then, a very difficult sale process, and you might have had to take a dip of 30 or 40% in the previously thought of value. Market values change all the time. And what is the market value? Well, it's what a buyer is willing to pay and what a seller is willing to accept. However, had you converted that capital, that property to capital at that time, even losing maybe 30% of the value of the property, and have invested it in, I don't know, a series of equity tracker funds, you would have probably trebled or even quadrupled your investment by 2018. Whereas the continued ownership of the property may very well have seen a modest few percent improvement in capital value, and in some cases, even a fall in value. So it's the inflexibility of real estate which locks you in to a system of valuation which is governed by those around you and not by you. Whereas when you capitalize that asset and you move it to real investments like equities and bonds, you are in control of where that money goes, with advice perhaps, to make sure that you're enhancing the value of that capital by your own efforts. Now, if you're in a declining market and you own a large property, frankly, you're the victim of what's going on in the marketplace. And that is the end of it. It's inflexibility that is the key issue.
Yeah. And I suppose also, Bill, there are tax implications for owning high-value property, or perhaps the people who've got more than one property.
Unfortunately, that's true. When you accumulate the value of properties, you end up finding you are definitely paying increasing levels of taxation. You know, in the environment since, I'm sorry to keep going back to this, but in the environment of the last 10 years, when governments around the world, and in particular continental Europe, Spain did a very good job of getting through its austerity phase with some pain, but nonetheless successfully redeveloping, if you like, their economy over the last 10 years. The simple truth is that everything in the eyes of politicians has become a potential target for increasing taxation. And nothing more readily fits the bill than this immovable object called your property, which is sitting there waiting to be taxed as to regular annual taxes, as to tax on the income if you rent it, as to being part of your estate at your demise, which will be subject to succession tax, even with some exemptions allowing you the transfer value to be reduced. It is an asset which you can't easily plan to avoid taxes on. Whereas if you have capitalized the same value and put it into, say, equities and bonds or cash deposits, for example, and wrapped it up in the right structure, you might be paying no tax at all.
I suppose, Bill, downsizing property could prove to be more tax efficient for yourself, but you've also got to consider your heirs as well.
Yes, I think the answer is that, you know, the inheritance of property isn't a simple matter, especially if you have more than one beneficiary taking that asset on at the end of your life. If your property is going to be divided through your will amongst two or three children, maybe a children of a previous marriage, all sorts of complications exist which are difficult to unravel, and the time taken to sort it out through probate takes sometimes years. Whereas the capital value of the asset when you've downsized, moved into other more liquid investments, means that you can divide assets up much more easily for your beneficiaries and make sure that they are inheriting from you in an enormously improved tax environment compared to having inherited the property.
That's very interesting, Bill. Yeah, I understand that completely. So overall then, what's your advice to someone who's wondering if they'd be better off moving to something smaller? And how do they go about weighing up the pros and the cons? And of course, after that, investing the proceeds to suit their needs?
It's a very good question, Howard. As I say, I keep coming back to this because I'm not at all insensitive to the fact that we're talking about, you know, people's emotional attachment to their what may have been their home for 30 years or more. But I think it does help sometimes to sit down with an independent and impartial point of view being discussed with you as to how you could engage the capital invested in your property in an alternative way to make your total wealth management more tax efficient and increase your income during your lifetime and improve the inheritance for your spouse and or your beneficiaries. And the flexibility of those more liquid investments of cash, equities and bonds actually leaves real estate standing, which is a very difficult asset to divide up. Very often at the time of an inheritance, when emotions are really running at an exceptional high, generally speaking, if you're passing your property on to your three children, for example, one might wish to keep the property, two might wish to get rid of it, or vice versa. And it leads to all sorts of complications, whereas alternative investments that are acquired through the capitalization of your real estate can easily be left to individuals in the proportions you wish to be received by them at the appropriate time, avoiding all those sort of family conflicts that come up at that horrible point in time when you're no longer here to help these people through the transition and they have different opinions and perspectives about what they want to inherit, if you see what I mean.
I do. I think we've all heard of families. I've been in families where that's happened on occasion. Bill, thank you very much.
I was just going to say how one of my finance director's father, when I went to see him shortly before his death, he said, "I'm finished. I have a few days." I said, "How? Don't be so negative. You know, you're a strong man. You've got strong willpower." He said to me, "Yes, where there's a will, there's family." That's what he said. And I think the trouble is that families don't always agree with the way in which you intend to leave your assets to them. Anyway.
So, Bill, how can people get in touch with you? I guess the website is the best place to start.
Yeah, blevinsfranks.com is a comprehensive website, loads of information there. Some of the stuff we've talked about will be on there. You can also listen to a repeat of these radio interviews. And you will have the address and location of the office closest to you. They'd love to hear from you. And go in and chat it through. You don't have to commit to anything, but it's worthwhile listening to find out if there are ideas that may give you massive advantages in terms of wealth management to that which you have now.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk here in Spain at the same time next week.
It's a pleasure, Howard. Have a good week.